Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
8:30, Friday Food Club time. Joining us today is Pina Broccoli Anaya. She writes the blog 1-2 Culinary Stew. And of course, our 105 chef Jamie Vantford is here as well. Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming in. So, Pina, you're very welcome. Tell us where your interest in food came from.
I grew up in a foodie family. My father had a restaurant. I'm from Montreal, and he had a restaurant for 45 years. So I just grew up around food and being of Italian background as well. Everything, you know, revolves around food, as Lucy probably knows. It's always been there. And at one point in my life, before I moved here, I worked as a translator, and I decided to specialize in food and wine and tourism. They're all sort of interrelated.
Because you do get specialisms, don't you, in the translation business? And
yes.
When you go to a conference and you just get like the house translator, and it's like, no, you don't actually mean that. And so there's these little things which, I guess for food in particular, just one of these subjects, you kind of really got to know the terms
in
lots of different countries.
Yeah, anything in translation, it's best to have someone who actually really knows about the subject, so
yes.
You can have people specialize in legal or medical. So I just gravitated towards food and wine. And,
nice.
When I moved to Cambridge about 10 years ago, I started working with my husband at his health and safety company. But I missed writing about food. So I decided to start the blog just as something I was interested in doing. And it's been almost 5 years now, and I'm really enjoying it. It's just a hobby.
Did it come naturally to you to do the writing aspect of it? Does it just, you know, flow off the page for you?
I think I just decided to focus it on just being my own experiences. So it's basically, it really is my voice. I'm not trying to do it from a marketing point of view or keep it short and punchy or advertising, that type of thing. It's just writing about it.
Is the people out there that do advertise and use it as a business, like you're doing it as a hobby, is the people out there who do make it a business of their own? Do you know?
In terms of the social media aspect, because the blog sort of the extension, actually the most followers I have are through the social media, because the blog posts are every once in a while. So I do keep active on social media, so things like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, people are looking at much more often. So there are people or companies that can't do it themselves.
There is people out there that do make money from being bloggers, whereas you do it you do it as a passion.
Yeah. There's all kinds of different bloggers. There's ones that actually do it as a job, where they do copywriting and they partner with brands that they're aligned with and they get paid, which is absolutely fine. It's just not something that I want to do.
No, what I love about you is, I've been looking forward to the show is because like you are very much about local people, about local food and about local, great ingredients. You know, I've got a cake in front of us from gin.
The bacon gin?
Yeah, bacon gin. And, what I love about you is that you're doing it as something that you're interested in, not
absolutely
something to get benefits from or anything. I've seen a couple of blogs out there where, it's very interesting to see your blogs because, you're looking at local suppliers that I don't even know about, and I'm a local chef, you know what I mean? And it's great to watch you because it makes me interested in what's she up to, you know what I mean?
But how do you approach it? I was looking at your blog last night and I saw, I forget their name now, it's a restaurant I think had just opened. I posted this a few months back and they're saying, oh, I'd like you to feature us, please.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because they're looking clearly to promote themselves and they see your blog as a good place to do that. But I don't know, what have you then turned up and didn't like the place?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like being Cambridge focused, that just kind of happened naturally. I didn't realize what a great little foodie community we have.
Yeah.
And once you kind of get into it, I find out a lot of things by, following other food bloggers as well, or just foodie people. So so having a blog, people don't really know exactly. I mean, I kind of make it clear on my site that it's non-commercial and I won't get paid to do to do posts and things. But if someone invites me, if there's a business that invites me that I find could be interesting, or if there's a launch or something, I'm very happy to go and spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to be a critic, and I don't call my blog reviews or anything because I'm not there to say bad things about it.
Yeah.
But everything is really great, actually.
So
it's a new business.
What do you actually do if you turn up to somewhere and you don't actually like it?
That's never really happened, actually.
Has it not?
No. I mean, in terms of I've been invited or...
No, yeah. Or, so basically, you know, when you get invited to these places, do you ever turn up and think, don't really want to talk about this because it's going to give you a bit of a bad rep if they're not... You know, I was talking with somebody the other day. A place opened up, it lasted about 6 months and then it closed down again, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that?
I think if you're invited somewhere, you know, there's the advantage that they're going to put their best foot forward, so it is going to be great. Mm. And so I think I need to make that transparent as well, that I was invited. I'll always have full disclosure that I was invited. And people can be between the lines about that.
So tell us a little bit about the foodie pop-ups, the foodie independents out there in Cambridge that you do go along to, that you've discovered that you think are really doing some great stuff out there at the moment.
Yeah, it's such a great independent food scene in Cambridge.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic. And it's great to discover producers like The Baking Gin, who's basically a software engineer by day, Jin Yi Chung. He has a PhD. And is every waking moment he's baking. So I decided to have him make a pandan chiffon cake, and it actually smells like pandan.
Met him the other day, actually, with Pina. We met up and had lunch, and this guy's got amazing talent.
And
we were talking...
I mean, the rise on that sponge.
Oh, yes, we've had a sponge brought to us.
The daft little cake that we made might have been about a third of that, and it was sandwiched.
You have to see, it's very light and...
Jin's USP is he's the only guy doing Malaysian...
But really, he's from Malaysia, he's from Borneo specifically, and he has mastered through his mum and all that the chiffon, light chiffon cakes. And what's nice about him is the only person doing it in Cambridge, but he's also putting his own spin on it. So he'll do like a something that's non-traditional. So he'll do like a lemon chiffon cake with raspberry buttercream.
I've got to ask you, how did you find him, this guy?
I actually met him at a Cambridge cookbook launch. He had won the Cambridge Bake Off back in 2015. The Cambridge Cookery School was doing one, and he won it. He did a DNA cake that was absolutely amazing. It was
fantastic.
All in the news. And I just got to talking to him. He had supplied the cake, and I was just amazed. And I do like little foodie get-togethers and stuff, and introduced him to people, and just sort of gravitated from there. And so you can order directly from him. He actually supplies Hot Numbers on Trumpington Street.
He
supplies the Moringa Tree in Haslingfield. And he could do a lot more if he wasn't working full-time. But
he's very busy this weekend, isn't he? I think he mentioned to us that he's got something like, you know, 300 cakes this weekend.
He's doing the Cambridge University Malaysian Student Association.
You know, this guy's basically finishing work at 6 and staying up till 2 in the morning and waking up at 6 again, you know what I mean? But that's amazing about Cambridge is that there's so many hidden gems, and Pina is out there showing us what there is out there. You know, it's fantastic. It's amazing to see.
It's like when we got together on Monday and we just went to a cafe, and he said, well, where do you go that's good? And I said, well, I like to go to Dolcedo on Hills Road. And it's the part of Hills Road that nobody really goes to. There's a lot of businesses there. It's towards Station Road. There's about three bakeries, great cafes. And people don't even know that they have a wonderful brunch there with avocado on toast.
I didn't even know it was there. And, you know, I mentioned...
But in a way, I know exactly which one you're speaking about. And I would say it's the kind of thing that should work in Cambridge, and it is working, but you don't know about it, and a lot of people don't know about it. Whose fault is that, though? Should they be... Is it a marketing thing? Are they not working that angle?
Yes, but you have to remember, when you're an independent business, I guess because I come from that background as well, you're just trying to, like, get your product out, and, you know, you have... everything, right? You're a chef as well, Jamie. You know, you've got all your safety, food safety things and all your,
I think it's a bit of tunnel vision, really, isn't it? It's you know, you're great at what you do, but yet you're a business owner and you've got so much more to do than get your word out. And what you try to aim for is word of mouth about what you're putting on a dish. But, you know, I went there the other day, it was fantastic, and word is out there. And I mentioned to somebody who went there, and they were like, oh, did you go to that place? I was like, yeah, that's the one. I forgot the name, but yeah, that's the one. So people do know about it.
Yeah.
It's just hard work trying to do everything as well as run a business, I think.
But having said that, Dolcedo in particular... word has gotten out. I mean, you go at lunchtime and everybody who works in the office are either, you know, queuing up to get a freshly made sandwich or their soup of the day, or they're sitting in the cafe and they're having the brunch. They're having the amazing patisserie. Andrew Hunter is a chef.
Amazing.
I think he was at King's College before, one of the colleges, and he makes high-end patisserie that you would not see anywhere else with flavors that you wouldn't think, like passion fruit or blood orange.
We had a Black Forest gâteau and an apple. Basically.
Yeah, I have a photo of that. It's an apple sitting on, like, it's actually a Black Forest cake.
Yeah.
And then when you cracked the apple, it was like a chocolatey
Kirsch, Kirsch cherries. Mm. You know, I ordered it with Noah, and he was like, there's some alcohol in there. I was like, that's fine, it's fine, he loves it. But the best thing was, we went up to the till.
I love that he's so young and he already can tell.
Yeah, we went up to the till, and like, I was talking to the person on the till, and the chef gave me his personal response and spoke to me directly about some scrambled eggs on toast. And it, oh, the bread, the sourdough bread is amazing.
Yeah, you can get it from Dovecote Bakery.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, super friendly. And Joanna's his partner, and she's super friendly. She's great.
Very humble.
Kids.
Very humble, considering that what the standard that kicking out. They're kicking out restaurant food in a cafe, so to speak, really. Yeah. It's amazing.
Mm. It's one of those gems that you wouldn't think, like, you walk by and you think, what is that? I'm not sure what that
is. Yeah,
and then you go in and
problem.
You realise.
Yeah. It's got to look so, I don't know, there's so many things to think about when you open up your own place like that, I guess. Yeah. But so you were saying that you've been here for 10 years.
In Cambridge, yes, and before that, London for 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. I really feel like the past 10 years in Cambridge, something has happened.
Definitely.
It has changed. There has been a bit of an explosion. There is so much good stuff out there at the moment.
Just the street food alone.
Yeah, if you speak to the food writer, Tim Hayward, you know, he'll tell you it's Cambridge, it's Bristol, it's London. And those are the food hubs of the UK. We will talk some more in a little while. We've got to do some travel and stuff. Pina Broccoli, stay with us. Jamie Mountford, of course, 105 Chef. And we'll talk some more after these important travel updates. 10 minutes away from 9 o'clock. We'll have a chat with Chris in a moment or two about what's coming up in 105 today. But Pina Broccoli, the Cambridge food blogger, and 105 chef Jamie Mountford are still here.
Fantastic. So I wanted to ask, actually, as a Canadian, you've been in the UK for 15 years. Did you go back much to Canada?
Yes, I go back quite often. My son's at University of Toronto now.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, and my sisters are still in Montreal.
Yeah. They have I know Canada has a really good food scene as well, and some of the main cities there. What are the most like striking differences between cuisine?
It's actually quite similar, really, because if you think about it, the UK and Canada, it's a mosaic of people, isn't it? A mosaic of, you know, you can have Indian food here that's sort of very British, or, you know, spag bol or whatever. So it's sort of the same thing. It's an influence of all kinds of different cultures. People will say, you know, what's a Canadian dish? They'll say poutine, you know, which
is the
fries with gravy and cheese curds and things that's particularly Canadian, that is actually, you know, making its way around the world in sometimes good, sometimes bad. it's really just a mosaic of everything. So it's not that different, really.
It's not that different, Sometimes I feel like, I thought there might be a sweeter element. I know that like your North American neighbours have very much sweeter tooth. Just looking at their Thanksgiving standard menu, I find it crazy. They put like, what is it, marshmallow on sweet potato?
Oh, yeah.
They love marshmallows, yes. No, my brother-in-law will do those.
Yeah, but not with
those.
Your potatoes. Come on.
No. There's an opportunity there, so that will go in.
And my favourite's the cranberry sauce that comes out in the shape of the tin.
Oh, my God.
But you don't have any of that in Canada, right?
Well, we have Canadian Thanksgiving in October, which nobody ever remembers, which is great. So the first Monday in October is Canadian Thanksgiving.
What are you giving thanks for in the Canadian Thanksgiving?
I forget. I don't know.
Okay.
is it the same thing, turkey? And
it's turkey, but, you know, my family was like, well, I mean, my mom had to make lasagna because it was special. So you would have lasagna and then you'd have the turkey afterwards or something.
With some rosemary.
You just make your
garlic.
Own. Yeah.
So, Jamie, tell us a little bit about what you've got coming up this weekend.
This weekend, lots of work. Very busy, as usual. Yeah, very, very busy. Just work, really. And then I'm going to see Kale and Damson, which is a veg supplier, to talk with him about what he does with vegetables and vegetarian dishes for Christmas.
Oh.
So that'll be my Monday thing for a future show, really.
Excellent, yes, because we're going to focus a little bit on Christmas cooking
December. December we've got coming up, we've got Bridges. They're coming in to talk about sharing food for Christmas.
And this Sunday, as a special day in the culinary calendar.
Yes. Stir up Sunday. So Stir Up Sunday is where we make stir up the Christmas pudding ingredients, and we're going to do Stir Up Friday next Friday, just the three of us.
Yes.
That could be an experience. Is Chris Fernandez next door ready to speak to us? She is. There she comes.
On the job, right here.
Yeah, okay,
where
you're
there.
Where I should
be. I've been waiting all this time.
Jamie has supplied you with cake to keep you entertained in the meantime.
I'm trying to figure out what I just had was a sort of a cross between a cake and a marshmallow. My God, I could literally trampoline on that thing. It is beautiful.
It's, amazing,
it's a thing of joy and delight. Thank you for making my morning.
You're very welcome. Oh, well, thank you. We thank Pina via gin, or we thank gin. Well, again, we're thanking gin on this programme. thanks to Pina for bringing it in. What do we have coming up after 9 o'clock for us?
Okay, so, Linda went out and about and she caught up with one of UK's top 100 most outstanding undergraduates. So, going to find out about that journey. And
okay.
Also, the two of you, Lucy and you, were busy out and about checking out the new uniforms of the city's ambassadors.
Oh, yes. Well, that was quite an experience. When did we do that? Earlier in the week.
Wednesday.
Yes. Wednesday.
Yes. Did you all manage to get one for yourselves?
Look, that's what we should do. We should have gone and been fitted out in one of these.
You'd look great
you
in your little purple butler outfit.
It was the trilby I was interested in for that. Anyway, thank you, Chris. After 9. Pina and Jamie, thank you very much indeed for coming in.
I should probably
have some of that cake now myself.
Yes.
Gwen Stefani will take us towards 9 o'clock. It's The Sweet Escape. And it's on Cambridge 105 Radio. Thank you very much for staying with us this week.
Yes.
From me, Julian Clover.
And from me, Lucy Milazzo.
Top of the morning. Good morning.
Have a great weekend. We're back on Monday at 7.
So it's Black Friday.
Make that vegan black sheep Friday.
Ah.